welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story is called The Bell of a Tree, an adaptation of an Italian folktale written for you by Daniel Hines. Today's episode was made in partnership with and sponsored by Facebook Portal. Thanks to them, you're getting this extra episode this week. Thanks, Facebook Portal. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast. If you send us a drawing of your favorite scene or character from this story, we'll share it on our feed. This message comes from story sponsor Facebook Portal. Part of being an adult means putting in the effort to maintain our relationships. Now, that's always been important, but this time of year reminds me of just how much. When I can't be with my friends and family in person, the closest thing I've found to a real-life conversation is Portal. Portal is a video calling device that helps you feel closer to the people you love by removing all the things that are frustrating about video calling. No more unflattering phone angles or having to stay in one place with a laptop. With Portal, you can move freely around the room. Wherever you go, you'll stay in frame. Video calling on Portal is easy. Call any device with just the touch of a button. Setup is a breeze, and the device itself is super streamlined, making this the perfect gift for everyone from your tech-savvy friend to your not-so-tech-savvy but just as lovable grandparents. And your loved one doesn't even have to have a Portal to benefit from a better experience. You can call people on WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger, even Zoom. You can feel like you were spending time together without worrying about how perfect your background is. This holiday, give the gift of a deeper connection. Facebook Portal. Share something real. Go to portal.facebook.com to learn more. Thanks! Enjoy the episode! The Bell of a Tree. Once upon a time in Italy, there was a busy old town they called a tree. It had started as a sleepy little village nestled in the crook of a river. It was a beautiful place to live, so it grew bigger and bigger and bigger. Suddenly, it wasn't so sleepy, and there were fights and thefts and just general disagreements all over the place. There were so many that the tiny little courthouse of a tree was overwhelmed, and no one could get the justice they deserved. Seeing this, the king of a tree ordered a great building project in the center of town. He hired nearly every craftsman he could find and set them to the project. The mills were buzzing with saws, and the blacksmiths clanged with hammers, and the carpenters tack-tack-tacked in their nails. The people of a tree would gather around as the building went up and up and up, always covered with scaffolding and tarps, so they couldn't see what was happening inside. Finally, the king declared it finished and had everyone assemble in the center of town. He stood on a stage in front of the covered building. Everyone gathered before him, the building covered at his back.
"People of a tree,"
he boomed, his voice carrying over the crowd like a warm breeze.
"I know we have been living too long with our fighting. This is our solution."
The workers pulled down the giant canvas tarps and they floated to the ground, revealing a giant tower, topped by a hulking bronze bell.
"This is the Bell of Justice."
The crowd murmured in confusion. The tower held the bell, and it had a long rope that came all the way to the ground, its end brushing against the dirt.
"This bell is for all of you. It's loud enough to be heard across the city, and the rope is low enough that even the smallest among you may ring it. If you have an issue, if you have suffered some injustice, all you have to do is come here and ring this bell. I have commissioned a council of judges. And when this bell is rung, they will come right away and see that justice is served. Rich or poor, young or old, it doesn't matter. If you are truly in need, simply ring the bell, and we will make sure things are put to rights."
The people were a little skeptical, but they clapped and cheered as the king left the stage. They all looked up at the bell, hanging 100 feet above them, with a mix of awe and fear. Could it really be that simple? If they pulled it, would they end up just thrown in jail for complaining? The king had never seemed a cruel man, but this new system was strange and seemed almost too good to be true. Finally, unbothered by the tense feeling in the air, a little girl skipped forward and grabbed the end of the bell's long rope. The crowd gasped, but before anyone could stop her, she gave it a tiny tug and the bell above rang out a musical gong, gong, gong. Swift as falling stars, three judges appeared from a nearby building. They were old, the women with cascading silver hair and the man with a beard tucked into his belt.
"Someone has rung the bell of a tree," he called out. "Tell us, child, what need do you have of justice?"
The crowd watched, breath held and eyes intent.
"Well," said the little girl, "my parents keep trying to say my bedtime should be 7, and that made sense when I was 7, but now I'm 8. Tell them my bedtime should be 8, too."
The crowd burst into laughter, relieving all the tension. The judges smiled down at her, and one of the old women sank down to her knees to look her in the eyes. "Ah, that is a tough one," she said. "But if we did things that way, I wouldn't go to bed until 70 o'clock. Can you see how that would be an issue?"
"Wow, I guess so," said the girl.
"How about you can stay up 8 minutes past 7, since you're 8 now? Is that a good deal?" The girl's parents smiled and nodded at the judge.
"That's a good deal,"
the girl said, and she skipped back to her mother's arms.
"Justice has been done," called the other judge,
and then they calmly walked back into the little house. After that, the bell began to ring all during the day with more serious cases. The judges came out to settle fights and recover stolen property and negotiate deals gone wrong. And as the year went on, the bell rang less and less. People saw that justice was being done, so they were less likely to fight and cheat each other, knowing that they'd only end up having to right their wrong in the end. A tree kept growing and turned into a peaceful city, the bell being rung maybe once a month at the most. The rope that dangled to the ground started to fray and rot away with disuse. Eventually, the king went to inspect the tower and found that the bottom dozen feet or so had broken clean off and fallen to the ground.
"This is unacceptable," he said. "The rope must be able to be reached by anyone. We need this fixed right away."
"We don't have any rope long enough, Your Highness," said one of the builders. "We have some hemp coming in from over the mountains, but it'll be a few weeks at least."
"Well, I understand," said the king. "But what can we do in the meantime? There has to be some solution."
They talked about it for a while, and finally, it was the gardener who came up with the answer. He went to the vineyard and brought back a long, gnarled grapevine. It was as thick as his wrist, studded with dried grapes, and easily reached from the ground to the tattered rope hanging above them. A ladder was fetched, and it was tied off in a double knot.
"Good as new," said the king. "This will do the job until we get the new rope in. Excellent work, everyone."
The grapevine rope was solid and just waiting for someone to use it. And eventually, someone did. But it wasn't what the king expected. At the edge of a tree, in a squat stone tower, there lived an old knight named Sir Crudel. Back when a tree was a lawless place, he had grown rich fighting bandits and protecting merchant wagons and the like. Now that the town was a peaceful place, he had entered his retirement rich and happy. He sold his sword and armor and all the rest and lived like a king himself in his tower. The only thing that he wasn't able to sell from his old life was his horse. His name was Rusher, and he had carried Sir Crudel through countless battles. He was a kind and faithful animal, though his chestnut-brown coat had gone to gray and his flowing mane was yellow and patchy and his withers stood out proudly. He could no longer carry the old knight, and he wasn't much good at anything besides eating his favorite meal of oats with sprinkled raisins. Sir Crudel tried to sell him, but no one wanted to buy an old horse.
The knight could have just kept him warm and cozy in the barn, but even though he was rich, he resented having to buy food for the kindly old beast. So, one night, to get rid of him, Sir Crudel led Rusher into the middle of a tree. He brought the horse to the river and waited for him to take a drink. When the horse was distracted, the old knight snuck away, leaving Rusher by himself in the town with no idea of how to get home. Rusher looked up from his drink and found himself suddenly alone. He whinnied and walked back and forth looking for his master, but the old knight was nowhere to be found. Clip-clopping along down the cobbled streets, Rusher looked for someone, anyone, but it was nearly 2 in the morning, and the streets were as empty as his stomach. Hungry, he thought to himself, wishing he was home with his oats all studded with sweet raisins. His big belly rumbled, and he realized that the knight had forgotten to feed him that morning. He needed to find some food, but everywhere he looked was just shut-up houses and gardens with sharp little flowers. The wind came blowing coldly down the street, and Rusher shivered miserably. Hungry and cold, he kept wandering the streets. Finally, his big snuffling nose caught a scent on the wind. It was, could it be? Raisins! Sweet, fresh raisins! And they were close! He sniffed and snuffed and plodded along until he found a tall tower with an opening at the bottom. It was warm inside, out of the whipping wind, and there, hanging from far above and dangling down to the floor, was a new, chewy vine all studded with dried little raisins. Warm and thankful, Rusher began to nibble the fruit off the vine. As he did, the vine pulled the rope, and the rope pulled the bell, and it began its call of gong, 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 far above. The bell woke the judges from their sleep. They dressed quickly and rushed to the tower. The bell of a tree barely rang at all these days, and it never rang in the middle of the night. "There must be a terrible fight," said one. "Someone could be hurt," agreed the second. "We need to hurry," said the third, and all the while the bell was gong, gong, gonging into the night. The three of them ran through the streets and burst into the tower, only to find the old horse, warm and happy, pulling another raisin off the vine. As he tugged it, the vine pulled the rope and the bell rang out again. "It's an old horse," said a judge. "Thankfully, no one is hurt."
"But look at him," said another. "He's nearly starved, and he must have been abandoned in the streets. He may not have known what he was doing, but this poor beast deserves justice the same as anyone else."
By this point, the repeated ringing of the bell had drawn a crowd. Someone passed up a blanket to further warm up the old horse, and everyone muttered about who could treat an animal so poorly. Finally, someone called out that they recognized him. It was Rusher. He belonged to old Sir Crudel, the retired knight.
"The poor horse," said a judge. "He deserves justice. Someone go fetch the knight, Sir Crudel."
A group of townspeople stormed off and returned with the old knight a few minutes later. He was scowling and confused, and when he saw Rusher, his face fell.
What's this about?"
"You've neglected this poor horse," said a judge, "and he came and rang the bell of a tree for justice."
"A horse can't ring a bell."
But even as Sir Crudel said it, Rusher pulled another dried grape off the vine, and the bell gave its mighty gong. The knight looked at his horse and realized how skinny he had let the beast become. He felt a sudden wash of guilt for leaving his old friend alone, and he bowed his head.
"I abandoned him," he said. "I admit it. I'll accept your judgment."
"Thank you. And of course, justice must be done, no matter if it's a person or a horse," said a judge. "Sir Crudel, you'll have to pay a fine of 100 gold pieces so that Rusher may live out the rest of his life warm and safe in the castle stable, with all the oats he can eat."
Gagong!
and raisins, too."
The crowd cheered, and the old knight accepted his punishment. He still had plenty to retire on, but he'd learned his lesson about being greedy and unkind to his animals. And Rusher lived for many more years, warm and well-fed, and surrounded by other horses in the royal stables. Justice was once again dealt fairly by the bell of a tree. The End. Today's story, The Bell of a Tree, was an adaptation of an Italian folktale written for you by Daniel Hines, edited and produced for you by Andrew Martin, and performed for you by me, Amanda Weldon. Today's episode was made in partnership with and sponsored by Facebook Portal. Thanks to them, you're getting this extra episode this week. Hooray! Thanks for listening! Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.